We are an imperfect couple, keeping it real, loving Jesus, loving each other, laughing our way through life, and figuring it out together. Hoping our stories can encourage and uplift others in their marriage to thrive and succeed, knowing they're not alone.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, how you doing?
Welcome to another episode of Real Love, Real Stories.
With the Bozos. And you did it right again.
Darn it. Okay.
See, you're learning how to do it. Rufus, get out of here. Go.
Yeah. Why does he do this?
Go lay down.
Why does he do this every time? Every time.
Go lay down.
Here's pitter patter. Go. Let's go. Okay. Sit by my feet. There we go.
Good boy. Okay.
I need that closer. Anyways, today we are going to talk about boundaries within marriage. So boundaries part two.
Boundaries within marriage part two. Let's run it.
Why would it be so awkward right now? Yeah, so we, if you haven't heard, we talked about boundaries and dating and engagement and how to set yourself up well in that relationship. So we wanted to dive into marriage because obviously your boundaries don't just stop within marriage. They just look a little different.
Yeah. Actually, they're probably more important when you're married than when you're not married. Honestly, there's more pitfalls when you're married.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, for sure.
So
I was like, it's important to keep the physical in the dating.
Yeah, it's important to keep the physical in the dating, of course. But I'm just saying, in general, marriage is when the enemy really comes to attack.
Yeah.
Sorry, my eye just freaked out there for some reason.
You're just a hot mess right now. We're just going to keep going, right? I mean, this is real.
Yeah, this is real.
Okay. So, okay, great.
This is Alexandria's favorite topic, so she's going to take it from here, and then we'll just kind of add it together. I know. Well, it'll be banter, as you would call.
Yes, banter.
So what's important about boundaries in marriage?
Lots of things. I know. One is, obviously, with physical and engagement and relationships, it's free game when you're married, right? There's a lot of the physical aspects that are kind of loosened because it's in the context of marriage and you can do what you want.
What are you talking about specifically?
Okay, I just need to make people make sure
the bad word that you're trying not to say.
Not saying a bad word. I just want to make sure that kids aren't listening.
What is the word though?
It's sex.
Know? Yeah.
Yep.
Sex is for marriage.
Yes.
Kids need to hear that.
Well, yes, I understand that. But I think it's also important. There's even boundaries within that of how many times a week, like things that you like and don't like within your marriage, right? So you have to be able to talk about that. So, I mean, that's really important too, because you have to set up those expectations of how often or things you try that you don't like.
Yeah. I mean, expectations times per week, I guess, but that's ever changing, even like,
right,
having children.
Yes.
That changes your schedule and it's not as frequent, or yeah, maybe it's more frequent than when before you had children. But yeah, it just kind of depends. The busyness of life. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to set a day to do it.
Schedule it out. Didn't we had a couple, was it when we got married or was it before? But they,
I don't remember,
but they said that to us. They're like, yeah, it's gonna slow down. And me and him were like, no it won't. And then we're like, yes it will. Once we had a kid.
Yeah, I mean, you're just more tired. There's a lot more things
There's tons more things going on. It's not that it's not good, it's just the realistic expectation when you're first married and you have more time to do those types of extracurricular activities.
Yeah. We'll call them extracurricular activities from here on out.
Yeah. There you go. We just dived right into that as the first boundary.
You're the one that brought it up.
I know. I just didn't expect to go there. It's fine. Yeah. So that's what we... you definitely, things just change within that marriage context, but it's also important to chat about those things because you know, there's a book that I've read that I really recommend, and it's called The Act of Marriage, and I can't remember the author, but I'll tag it in here. And they just talk about like really intimate stuff when it regards to physical and marriage, and how that's sometimes really overlooked in the Christian world, as you know, people think, oh, well, you don't do it as much, or it's a taboo subject, or XYZ, but it should be something that's such a beautiful thing in the context of marriage, and the Lord created it. And so if you want to dive into that, I recommend that book. We're not sponsoring that book, but I recommend it.
Yeah, it's a good book to read that you made me read before we got married.
Yeah. Yep. So anyways, so the next set of boundaries are just diving into going into like how I treat people with the opposite gender and how you treat people with the opposite gender now that we're married. And I think we did this too when we were dating. We were pretty careful about that because obviously we want to respect each other. But one of the biggest boundaries Franco and I have is that I will not text a different guy, like a guy that's not you, without you seeing it. Like, you have full access to my phone. You have full access to anything that you want to see. And usually if it's a work related thing, or like if we're scheduled for worship and I'm texting somebody in regards to that, and that's a man, I'm telling Franco almost immediately, or showing him the actual conversation. Like, I'll show you my phone, go here, look at this. And then you just know, because I don't want to ever have a conversation that you don't know about. And especially nowadays, you're seeing so many of these, unfortunately, like male pastors that are stepping down from being in leadership. And a lot of it is due to some sort of sexual sin and or like an emotional relationship with somebody that wasn't their wife. And when that ends up happening, it's a lot of times there's not that boundary that's set up well. And a boundary isn't just boundary. It's like trust.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm fully trusting you and I want you to fully trust me that I'm not going to talk about certain things with somebody that's not you. And if I need to talk about it, I could go to my girlfriend, not a guy friend. So do you want to add anything to that?
I mean, I think it's a good boundary to have just in general, especially when you're married, that you don't speak to the opposite gender about anything that's more than surface level, unless their spouse is there with them. Mm-hmm. So like, let's say I talk to Alexandria's friend, but she's there with me to walk me through whatever situation. I don't really ever see a reason why I would have to talk to her over you about a certain situation, but
there shouldn't be.
Yeah. So I guess that kind of throws that boundary out the window.
Well, no, I mean, it goes back to time equals relationship, right? So the more time you spend with somebody, the deeper your relationship will get. And so if you're going to spend more time with somebody that's not your spouse, that's the opposite gender, then eventually you're going to connect. You're going to go deeper. You're going to have more conversations. You're going to get to know that person more and more. And it is sort of enticing. Like, our flesh thinks that's enticing. It's a little dangerous. It's, you know, stepping over the line is like, our flesh wants that, not our spirit necessarily, but our flesh is always going to want to sin. So I think it's so important to make sure you have that just set up, and just that open communication as well. And another thing that we end up doing too, like, if we're in a public setting, or not even public setting, but they never have a closed door. It like, ever with the opposite gender. I don't care if we're in a church setting, if we're at my home, like, I will not be put in a position where somebody walks in and they'll be like, why is this door closed? Right. And so I think
that's semi situational. I don't know if it necessarily needs to be door closed, but there has to be a window on the door so anybody can look in at any point.
That's a good point.
Because if you're counseling somebody,
I guess my personal thing is, like, I would not. But I'd be like, I'd feel like I would walk out of the room.
Okay, but what if you're mentoring somebody, or you're mentoring a couple, and then the girl needs to go to the bathroom. Are you going to leave the room also? Probably not. You're probably just going to sit there.
I'll leave the door
open. Oh, yeah, you could leave the door open. But if there's a window on the door, too, you'd probably be okay also. But it's just leaving yourself open and making sure that anybody at any time can see what you're doing. Because light, what is it? Light is the best cleanser, or what is it? Light is the best. Shining light on something is the best disinfectant.
What is that from?
It's from something that I've heard. But when you shed light on it, it's like sin, right? Think of sin as darkness.
Yeah.
When you shed light on the sin, then that starts to disinfect what that sin did. And you start to have peace and clarity, and you get to have the conversation now so that sin gets smaller and smaller till it's gone.
Yeah.
Because you're confessing and you're talking about it and you're shining a light on the sin to continue to move forward, whatever that may be.
No, that's true. That's a good point. I guess it's my own personal thing is that I just would want the door open.
Yeah, but if we're talking about boundaries in marriage in general, then it's not just about what you would do.
Yeah.
But what you would suggest.
I know, because also we didn't kiss, and that's not everybody. Most people are going to kiss when they're dating.
Yeah, of course. So that's why
you have to. I'm the unicorn of the dating world.
Maybe. Or again, you had your first date on Christian Mingle. One of your first dates was on Christian Mingle.
Okay. It wasn't my first ever. Well, maybe it was. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. It was over 10 years ago. But yes, I think that you shouldn't be looking to the opposite gender that's not your spouse for emotional support.
No, of course not.
I think that is the standard, right? And if I have to look to another guy to fulfill a need, like, I don't.
What do you mean?
Like, if I need to look to another guy to fulfill, like, a friendship need or emotional need, like, I think my view on that is, what am I trying to say? Ugh. I mean, like, I shouldn't look to another guy that's not you to fill an emotional need. It should be you to fill that.
Or a girl. Need.
Or a girl, yes. Because, I mean, girls connect because we think similarly. And that's why men connect and can chat. Well, I don't know if you guys talk deep. Who knows? I feel like guys are just like, yeah, I'm going through a hard time. Oh, that sucks. Well, and then they're good to go.
Yeah, pretty much.
My girls over here are spilling for 2 hours of their hearts, and then we're fine.
It's a prehistoric thing. It's in our DNA to, you know, you had to hunt, and you can't cry and then go hunting. You know, you just got to tough it out so you can go on the hunt.
So what are the women
so do? That you go pick berries and talk. We have to... It's a prehistoric fact.
That's all we did? We just picked berries?
Well, yeah, you guys, and you had babies. Women had babies, and they went and picked berries, and the men had to go off and hunt for food and bring it back.
I feel like you're digging a little bit of a hole.
No,
it's all the not. Feminists are going to come out.
All right, my boys will back me up, okay? My boys are going to back me up on this.
Actually, that's funny. I'm not really a feminist, so I don't really care.
So,
yes. So I think another part of just having boundaries within marriage is going into the friendship, right? Where I am adamant about if there's an issue with us, that I'm not going to, I don't really share it with my friends first. I want to make sure that we're trying to walk it out together. Because I think that there are certain issues that are private and that we need to be able to battle. And there's also times where I could go to friends and seek advice and counsel. But a lot of times what you see are people going to their friends and bashing their spouse. And then they're like, oh, yeah, he's totally in the wrong. Instead of calling them up and out of situation. So whenever I chat with people about marriage, about relationships, they're dating with somebody and they share things, I'll go, have you talked to your spouse about it? And sometimes they'll be like, well, no, I haven't yet. I'm like, well, I don't want to hear it until you've talked to your spouse about it. Like, I will always go back to that, because you and your spouse are a team and I'm rooting for the team. I'm not just rooting for you. And so if I'm rooting for your team, then I want you guys to be as, you know, as one, and I want you to be moving forward. And so there's so many times where there's been situations with us that I tell my friends after we resolve it, as more of a guidance for them if they have a situation that's similar. And I'll be like, you know what, Franco and I walked through this already, instead of it being this raw, oh, we're in this right now, and yeah, like XYZ guys are dumb, whatever, right? Because that just doesn't help the situation. So I think that's a really important piece to it. And I think of the verse where it says in Mark 10, and let me get it to it, where it says that for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And I think about that verse when I'm chatting with people who are married or who are going through a situation, that it's not just one person, it's the unity of that marriage. And so for me, if I'm going to bad mouth and bad talk you, I'm bad talking myself, because we're one, we're in this together. And we often forget that, and we need to be rooting for marriages and not trying to seek understanding. Isn't going to help. And so we have to try to seek understanding within people's marriages and say, you know what, let's give the benefit of the doubt to the guy. No, obviously there's case by case situations. Like if somebody's abusing, you know, there's all those different things, but I'm just talking about a general fight in a marriage that is going to happen. It always happens. Things are said to each other that's hurtful, that is hard to take back. But instead of saying, I just can't understand, or I can't believe that they said that, it's trying to see it from their perspective too. Like, where are they at emotionally? Where are they at?
Yeah, but what if you're new to marriage? Should you just seek out some counsel in a situation?
Well, yeah, I think there's times for that. I think if you're not seeing eye to eye on certain issues where you've been trying to have this conversation, you both try to have been seeking understanding, right? You're both going at it in that regard. Or maybe one is really, really trying to understand that situation. The other one is just being prideful and sticking to their guns, thinking they're right. Then yes, I think it's very appropriate to get godly wisdom and seek counsel for that. And not just advice, but actual like counseling that have the equipment and the tools to do that,
to talk through
those
situations,
right?
Okay.
Do you want?
I mean, I don't really have anything else to add. I guess you're right. You shouldn't talk down to your spouse to other people. Because what really happens is that you're looking for affirmation in the wrong that your spouse is doing, and that you're not doing anything wrong in the situation, but your spouse is. And a lot of the people, it's an interesting thing, because we talked about this on a different podcast, where people just don't want to see you succeed.
Yeah,
they just want to see you fail, or they want you to fail with them. So you have to find the right people to bring around you to make sure that they're edifying you and saying, no, you need to go take a shot with this marriage and figure out how to work through this problem.
Yeah.
But a lot of people will be like, yeah, my marriage sucks too. We're both marriage suck buddies. And we we don't like the people we're married to, or whatever circumstance. And right. So they just eat themselves alive by bringing each other down. So one brings up a situation and then the next person's like, oh yeah, well my wife or husband does this, so mm-hmm. yeah, they just both suck, all of them suck, and then you just keep going down,
right?
But it's finding people. I don't think it's like necessarily that you shouldn't talk about your spouse, but you should talk about your spouse with people that want to see your marriage succeed.
Yes.
And surrounding yourself with people like yeah. that. There's yeah. going to be people who are going to want to bring you down to their level if they have a failed marriage or if right. their marriage is failing, and they want to see other marriages fail so that they feel justified in the feelings they have about marriage.
Yeah. I don't think every person that is going through a hard time wants other people to go through that. But it's a subconscious thing that people do, I think, too. It's not just that, you know, oh, my marriage sucks, I want your marriage to suck too. It's just a more subconscious thing, because if you are in unhealth and you can relate, people want to relate to you, right? Instead of calling you up. It's harder to call somebody up, and it's easier to relate and be like, oh yeah, my husband totally does the same thing. Like, oh yeah, my husband, you know, never pursues me in this way, XYZ. It's easier to complain than it is to uplift and call people to a higher standard. And so it's our way of just subconsciously saying exactly what our friend like wants to hear instead of actually needs to hear. And I love like what you said about that. It's just, you have to surround yourself with people that are going to want to see your marriage succeed.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, like, people make or break you. Your relationships make or break you in a lot of different ways. And so if you don't have people that are going to support you and be like, I'm for you two, I'm not just for you, I'm for both of you as a team, then that can really edify someone's marriage.
Yeah. So you got to find those people. So I guess it's not necessarily that you shouldn't, I guess to wrap this part up, it's not that you shouldn't find people to, or bash on your spouse, but find the people that are going to call you out for the things that you're saying about your spouse. Mm. So people who are like, why are you nagging about your spouse? Go talk to him. It's kind of like you were talking about before.
Yeah.
Like, go talk to your spouse about the whatever X issue you're having, you know?
Right.
And get to the bottom of it with them. Don't find the friends that will say, yeah, that sucks, let's go do this other thing, and then never resolve it with your spouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you seeking wisdom or are you seeking complaint? Like, that's really what it is. Are you seeking wisdom in your situation to get a solution? Or are you just seeking for someone to validate that, yeah, you totally should feel that way and do the thing that you're feeling? Because your feelings aren't fact. We've talked about that so many times. Your feelings aren't fact. They're real, but that doesn't mean what you feel is truth. And so you have to have that fine line. And, you know, you don't have to have the answer for some people to within a marriage context when they're struggling. And just sometimes the best thing you say is like, I'm praying for you. You know, you can challenge them and say like, I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
And I'm praying for your marriage, and check in on them a few days later. Be like, hey, did you talk to your spouse? You know, look at the accountability. Did you have this conversation?
Yeah.
And holding them to that. Cause I know that if I have that and I have a good friend, that they're going to want to see me have those hard conversations, because through those hard conversations, we end up becoming closer, right? We learn, and then we grow in intimacy. Cause I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do that again, because we figured out how to not, you know, cross those certain boundaries or talk to each other a certain way. Yeah. And I wanted to also dive in, cause this is something we just had a tiff about, but just boundaries and within your time spending with each other in marriage. And I think that looks totally different too, of your quality time, your time that you do things together. And, you know, the other day we didn't communicate that I wanted to spend time with you. And then you had no idea. And then you got mad because it was like 9:00 and you're like, I didn't know you wanted to spend time with me. And I was like, well, yeah, you should have known. But then it's unrealistic for me to think that you could read my mind and that you could understand my body language by saying, you know, thinking that I clearly communicated, which I didn't. But those types of things of just knowing what the expectation is of setting up time throughout the week to spend with each other. And you have to come to a compromise on that too. And those are like good boundaries to have, you know, because your marriage has to come first. God comes first, your marriage, your kids, friendships, all that other stuff, right? Yeah. It fizzles down. So what does that look like within your marriage? Because kids take up a lot of your time. And so how do you implement that you're connecting throughout the week? And when you don't have kids, it's really easy.
Yeah, but what does that boundary even look like?
And how to implement it?
Yeah, setting a schedule or... Because really what it comes down to is clear communication.
Yeah.
And talking about what you need. That's really what it comes down to.
Right, right. Like it's the physical or the emotional boundary and the time, like the time boundary. Because some days I don't even want to be by anybody. And I literally will have to just say, like, I just want to be alone.
Yeah.
And it's not anything against you. It's just the fact that I want to be by myself because I'm constantly needed, you know, and being pregnant, I'm tired and I just don't want to be like touched. Like, I, you know, I'm just like uncomfortable. And so there's times where I'm like, you can just go do your thing and I'm going to do my thing. And then there's other times I'm like, I want you to sit by me while I do my thing. But it just depends, right? And we have to constantly have that conversation.
Yes, we do. We do have to have that conversation because this is always a battle in our marriage.
This is probably one of our biggest battles, to be honest.
Because you don't communicate, and then I ask you what you need, and then you always say to me, well, how come it's always about what I need? How about you just say you want to spend time with me?
Right. But like I said, it's important to hear it versus just assuming. Because I can know that, yes, you love me, that you want to spend time with me. Right. But that's, think about in the context of spending time with the Lord. Like, you know that he loves you. You know that he wants to spend time with you. But when you choose and you say, like, you want to read the Bible, you want to worship him, you want to do all these things for him, it probably pleases his heart more because he knows that it's, you're saying it. It's not just that you're there and that you just have to do it. It's more of a want. And so I think there's a difference when you say to me, hey, I want to spend time with you, because it's showing me that that's what you want, rather than you just catering to my needs, because then that's not fair.
Yeah, but what if it's a night where you don't want to be touched or be around or talk to anybody? How am I supposed to know that?
I need to tell you.
So what if I say I want to be with you, and then you're like, I don't want to be touched. Oh, don't talk to me. What you I mean? Want silence.
If you're wanting to be with me, and I'm like, I just don't.
No, you just don't communicate that you don't want to be touched or you don't want to be talked to. You want to sit in silence, you want to watch your TV show, but that night I happen to say, hey, I want to hang out. Yeah, see?
Compromise?
Yeah, it's hard to figure out. Like, you want me to read your mind, or you want us to read your mind. It doesn't help if you have these nights where you don't want anything, or you don't want to be around anyone, you just want to sit in silence.
Right, but I think that comes into play if having to be able to say, like, you know, if you say I want to spend time with you and I go, I just need a moment, I just need a night alone, then the counter argument would be, okay, then when are we going to spend time together? Because you can't say this every night, right? Like, that's placing up a boundary of like, sure, I'll give you tonight, but I want to spend time with you this week. So you need to choose a day and kind of just get over yourself and do it, right? And compromise.
Okay.
Because I think, why are you smiling?
Because this is just ammo for me.
No, it's not, because it's technically still getting what I want each time. You realize that, right?
I know, but why isn't it just easier for me to ask you what you want and then you tell me?
Because I don't know.
Yeah, this is the problem.
That's like a mental block. I don't know if anybody else deals with
that. So anyways, pro tip to you guys out there.
Oh my gosh. Hey, maybe somebody else goes through that same thing. If, honestly, that is one of our biggest things, is just the quality time versus quantity time. Because you could be on the couch next to me watching your show, playing your game, and I'm watching my show, and you count that as I spent time with you. And we didn't talk, right? For me, I'm like, that was just time. That wasn't quality time of us engaging in conversation or playing a game or, you know, chatting about our day. Like, that is more of the quality that I look for, where you're like, well, we just hung out every night on the couch for 5 days. And I'm like, well, we didn't talk about anything. Like, that's where we, like, disconnect, right? And so I know I need to be better about saying where I'm at, because I know that I have more emotional needs than you do. You're pretty chill.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Well, first of all, it's quantity time versus quality time. So knowing the difference between you necessarily doing those things that you said, being on your phone or watching a TV show together, not talking for 5 nights in a row, let's say that's quantity of time. So I view that as I opened the opportunity for 5 days in a row.
But didn't ask what.
I always asked what you wanted to do.
Or are you saying you're there? I'm available. Me to say something?
Do you want to talk? If you want to talk about something, yeah, it's on you to talk about something.
But do you not have anything that goes on in your brain that you want to chat with me about? Is it like a guy thing?
I mean,
is it like a guy thing that you just like you don't really think about things?
We think about things like the collapse of the Roman Empire. Do you want to talk about the collapse of the Roman Empire?
I absolutely do not want to talk about that.
My friend Michael wants to talk about UFOs, so I think about UFOs.
Oh my gosh.
Talking to friends
Brittany
about...
Brittany probably just rolled her eyes just like I just did.
talking about different timelines. Do we live in interdimensional timelines? Do you want to talk about that?
That's what you think about?
That is what I think
about.
You
don't think about like, I had all these things and these fires that I had to put out at work today. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this thing. I was thinking about that. Like,
I do not think about
that. Not at all.
No.
Nothing. I just cannot wrap my head.
Not work related. Or once I clock out, I'm good for the day. Unless there's a fire at work, I don't have to worry about it.
Unless there's a fire, which happens when?
Exactly. Never. So I don't think about work after I get off work.
I'm not just saying work. I guess just conversations you had with people or... like future things or things we got to do.
The conversations I have with people is about interdimensional timelines and the collapse of the Roman Empire.
Everybody you have a conversation with, you talk about Roman Empire?
No, not necessarily. No, just like civilization. There's like, I know it's hard for you to wrap your head around, but those are the things I'm thinking about, especially if I'm just sitting here on the couch watching a TV show. You think I'm like in a deep thought about
sometimes
something
I do,
that
and
went
then
on
I'm
at
like,
work.
He's not sharing with. So now I know it's that level.
I'm probably thinking of something that you don't want to talk about. And that's why I ask you what you want to talk about, because I don't think you want to talk about the things that I'm thinking about. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't love you or don't love spending time with you, but those are the things I personally think about. Now, this is probably not all guys. But for me, that's what I think about. You know, I listen to podcasts all day and I just kind of mull over everything that I listen to that day. It just depends on what I listen to also.
So what would be your advice for a wife that's a little more emotional then? What would be like a boundary that...
A boundary? It wouldn't be a boundary.
Well, maybe not a boundary, but what would be advice for men that their wife does have a lot to spill? Could there be a boundary in that? Or should the man just be able to listen to everything?
I think if your wife wants to talk about something, then you should request the husband to listen to what she wants to talk about.
Request the husband?
Yeah. So like, hey, I had this stuff happen today. You want to sit and talk about it? more than likely the guy will sit there, the husband will just say, yeah, let's tell me what's up, what's going on. But here's the problem husbands have. We're fixers. So we'll just tell you how to fix it.
Yeah, we don't like that. Sometimes we do. Sometimes you we just, do not.
You just want us to listen.
Yeah.
And we just want to say, well, why don't you just solve the issue? And you don't want to hear the, you don't want to hear how to solve it. You just want to complain about it. And so you need to specify before the conversation starts. Do you want me to listen or do you want me to fix it for you?
That, see, that is technically a boundary to have within emotional conversation. Is to be able to say that from the start.
I wouldn't say it's a boundary.
Well, it's a guideline.
Sure.
Because I'll take that. Because I know that was something that we struggled with a lot when we first got married, is that I would be sharing and you would start giving me answers of what to do, and it'd be like, whoa, because that's not what I asked for, and then we would get into more of a little argument because I'd be like, why are you telling me what to do? And I just wanted to tell you what the situation was. I'm still processing it and you're telling me here's the answer. And I go, I don't think that's the answer. Or it is the answer, but I'm not ready to hear that. Right. Because I was emotional and I was too attached to the situation.
Yeah.
And that was definitely something we had to figure out. And then now I feel like we're good now. There's still some times that we don't do it perfect, but there's still times where I'll be like, okay, I need to share this with you. Don't need an answer. Just listen. That's all I need. Or I will say, I need your help in figuring out what to do. And I'll say that from the start. So then when I start sharing, then you are already thinking of a solution instead of you just sitting there wanting to give out the solution. But if I say, I just want you to listen, then you could be like, oh, okay, off my shoulders. I'm just going to let her figure it out.
And I'll think about the Roman Empire while you're talking to me.
I'm never going to share with you again.
Yes, you will. You're going to want to share with me again. Trust me. I don't doubt that for a second.
Yeah, right. But now I just feel like you're always... I'm just going to be looking at you and you're going to be talking about the Roman... Like, thinking about the Roman Empire.
I don't specifically think about that. That's kind of like...
And if we're... What's the other big thing that you talk about? That we're in a...
Interdimensional timelines?
Interdimensional timeline. Don't... Please don't talk about it. Right now.
Okay, God is outside of time.
Okay, but please don't do it. Please don't do it. We don't have time. We don't have time for that.
We got plenty of time.
We don't have time.
Five nights a week.
I'm not talking about it. You can chat with other people. You can chat with your guy friends about that one. I'm not talking about
it. Even my guy friends, it's too... I keep hitting my head on the mic.
Oh my gosh. Okay. This was just a fun
one. Just a little detour. Is there any other boundaries you want to talk about in marriage?
Oh, man. No, I mean, we grasp on the physical. You grasp on some of the emotional. And I think we kind of covered some. And I'm sure there's a lot more as we continue being married. There are things that will come up. But honestly, one of those biggest things, because if you're wanting fidelity in your marriage, you got to make sure to have good boundaries with the opposite gender. Like that's what I'm going to leave it as. You got to have that. And that needs to be a high standard, because as we chatted in the first boundary episode, sexual immorality is huge, and it's something that's a huge sin, and it affects so many different aspects of somebody's life. It's not just one thing, but it's so many. And so if you don't have that standard of fidelity and how to keep that on the straight and narrow, things are going to happen.
Is fidelity the right word?
Yeah, fidelity.
Okay.
Infidelity is cheating. Fidelity means...
On the straight road?
No, but...
On the narrow path?
Yes and no.
Isn't that a scripture?
Yes, that is in scripture, but it's okay. You're sidetracking me right now. So, yes, those are important to have. And also having those emotional boundaries with each other and being able to say when you want to chat more, when you don't. because that's really important. Yeah. And obviously, we're still mastering that. We're not perfect at that by all means.
But yeah, good communication is a great. It's not necessarily a boundary, but having great communication helps really clear the air on a lot of things. And then I think a lot of people don't say, oh, I don't need to have my phone. My wife doesn't need access to my phone. She just needs to trust me. It's not a trust thing. It's if you have to hide something, then there's an issue. And you should be able to just pass it off whenever you want. You can still have a password. Just your wife has to know the password.
Yeah.
And it's not a lack of trust if your spouse doesn't. It's not a lack of trust if your spouse has access to your phone. Okay. Your phone is what you use for everything today. Everything is on your phone.
Social media.
And if you're married, you guys both have access to everything in each other's lives.
Yeah.
Unless you work for like the CIA or the FBI and you have privy to like top secret information, you have no excuse to be able to share your, even in the military, not everybody in the military has top secret access or secret access to anything. No,
this is so funny.
But that's like the only reason why you wouldn't share with your spouse what's on your phone. So,
yeah, that's a really good point. We didn't even touch on. It's not just about I don't trust them. It's like, no, there should be nothing that you hide, including your phone.
Yeah. Yep.
There's really no reason to keep it away from your spouse. There's literally no reason.
Correct.
If you disagree, tell us why you disagree. But I.
Yeah, we know we're right. Comments.
Yeah, we know we're right.
Well, maybe we don't know we're right, but if you come in here and tell me, well, she should just trust me about what I'm doing on my phone, then I bet you up to something. You cooking something up on your phone.
You cooking something up. Do more than cooking.
Who knows? Maybe it's not anything bad, but
yeah.
Just open yourself up to that. Humble yourself to your spouse. It doesn't make you more or less trusted by your spouse if she can't access your phone. So,
and I know we were like almost finished, but like I want to add this too. It's so important to be able to humble yourself in situations. And so if you know, diving into that trust, like you should be able to trust your spouse. And your spouse should be able to be humble enough to just be open with things that are going on in their life. And if you don't have that, then I can see that that could be really difficult. And so allowing yourself to stay humble and to just admit when you're wrong and be quick to listen and slow to speak is going to take you really far. And our pride just wants to be right and be the first person. And I know that for myself, speaking for myself on that, because I know that sometimes I'm like, I just want to be right. Like I know Franco's right, but no, I don't want to admit it. And then I have to humble myself and ask the Lord a lot of times to just be like, okay, like I need to get over my own self and just be able to apologize and not think that I'm always in the right. Right. And when you're both having people who are coming together in your marriage and staying humble and staying true and trying to seek trust in all times, then it'll go well. But I also understand that some people, you know, have tried to do these things and that other person is not willing. So that's a whole nother situation. But
yeah.
Communication is a whole, we could talk about that for a long time. So that will be something different.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. It is the linchpin, as I've heard speaking a lot of, to marriage communication. When you stop communicating, things start to go awry. So
yeah,
at least have some sort of conversation about something in your marriage. Very important.
Yep.
So, well, thank you everybody for joining us today. It's just Alexandria and I talking about boundaries and... Yeah, this is, why are you interrupting me out there in the closing?
I'm sorry. You just went, thank you, everybody. You got really loud.
Yeah, I want people to know what we're doing right now.
Okay, got it. Sorry.
So as I'm wrapping it up, please don't forget, subscribe, like the video, write in the comments if you think I'm wrong about something. I probably won't respond, but at least you'll feel better about yourself. And then you guys can go listen to us anywhere you have podcasts, Apple, Spotify. Again, leave us a review there. Let us know how we're doing. And yeah, we'll catch you guys later. See ya. Peace.